You not ready to go, are you?
Well, we're close. As soon as we announce we're missing the building.
Good morning, everybody. I guess it's time to start. I've got a note here. It says, please make sure all of your things are out of the coat closet. They're going to be cleaning and getting rid of things that are not claimed. And also, if anyone needs a desk, let one of the men know. We have a few desks to give away. And unfortunately, David Morse called, said his father's not doing well with hospice. So I guess he probably won't be here today. And filling in for the evangelism prayer will be Josh Blair and Tutta David Morris. Everybody else is as listed in here. We've got James Oliver for songs, Charles Wall for opening prayer, for the Lord's contribution and Lord's Supper, be James Miller and Mike Porter. Court reader for March is the Millers. Scripture reading will be Brent Volkert. That scripture will be Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. And of course, our sermon will be Doug Berry, and closing prayer will be Jamie Pohl. PM service will be Doug Berry again. And our announcements for the prayer list, we've got Naomi Simmons, Dustin Jackson, Ken and Sandy White, and I guess more flu with the Blair family. James Oliver has the flu. I guess that's why you wouldn't shake my hand, huh?
You're on your own, bro.
Thank you. Comfort to Pearl Hyatt and passing of a close friend. And there's a note here. Or Millie King is in the hospital, going to be seeing a heart specialist, I guess, first of the week. Shut-ins, Rose Beatty, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, and Jack and Millie King are all homebound. Up-and-coming birthdays, March 16th, Kim Williams, March 19th, Sandy White, March 22nd, Mike and Melissa Porter's anniversary. And there's a note in here to remember to go to Facebook and follow the church page on Facebook. And I believe that's all the announcements.
Martha had surgery this week.
Okay. Remember, Martha had surgery yesterday, so remember her in your prayers.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here today on this beautiful but windy day. Please help us to open our hearts and minds to your word and learn. Please be with Doug as he prepares to deliver his message today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Hello. Welcome, everybody. Glad we're all here this morning. Welcome you. Good morning. Our first selection this morning will be number 598. 598, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Number 543. I believe the name of the song is Redeem. Make sure it's the right one. Yeah. Number 543, Redeem. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have passed away. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him, I now resign. I have been redeemed. Great is my joy, onward I go. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. All the way homeward, my praises shall flow. I have been redeemed, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Precious indeed is my Savior to me. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, happy and glory, someday I shall be,
someday I shall be.
I have been redeemed, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine, all to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Our next selection will be number 421. And then after this song, Brother Charles will lead our minds in prayer. Number 421, Love Lifted Me. And then Charles will lead our minds in prayer.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep was staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, bears my soul this song. Faithful loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. One nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. One nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger looked above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, those His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Our Heavenly Father, what an honor it is once again, privilege to come together to worship You, the true and living God, to sing these songs, Love Lifted Me, and I'm resolved, and what a wonderful thought those are. May we always have liberty and never be molested from singing and doing the things that Your will requires. We're mindful, Father, of many of our number that are sick. We're mindful of Martha Crane, who had her gallbladder taken out this week. We pray, Father, that she's recovering okay and that Bob will stand by her, take care of her. We pray, Father, that You bless David Morris and his father, Father, Dad is in his turmoil. We pray You'll comfort him and comfort David and the family through this trying time. We're thankful, Father, for the schools and the teachers and the bus drivers that are throughout the land. We pray that You will always protect them and take them to school and back home safely. We pray, Father, for this turmoil in this country and throughout the world. What a tragedy it is, Father. One life lost is not worth all this that's been done. Maybe somehow You touch these rulers in their hearts and let them know that You're in command and that they need to have peace throughout the world. We pray, Father, we'll always be able to worship You, the true and living God, and recognize Your Savior, Jesus is our Savior, and Your Word as our direct to heaven. We're thankful, Father, for those that's been sick and they will be back with us this morning. Always good to see their smiling faces again. Pray for those that's having birthdays this week, having many, many more. Be with us throughout this service. Bring Your best Doug as he breaks the bread of life to us this morning. May we put treasure in our hearts and be better when we left, when we leave, than when we came in. Be with us, Father. Bring us back tonight at 5 and Wednesday evening at 6. Let us always put You first in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would turn your hymnals to number 268, this will be the song to prepare our minds before we take the Lord's Supper. And then after we take the Lord's Supper, we'll have the scripture read, and then we'll have another song. So it'll be the Lord's Supper, scripture reading, and another song. And the name of number 268 is I Gave My Life for Thee.
Number 268.
I gave my life for Thee, my precious blood I shed, that Thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what thou hast given for me. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory's circle throne. I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I've left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I've suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell. A bitter tragedy made to rescue thee from hell. I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
On the day of our Lord's crucifixion, as he was there nailed to the cross, the whole crowd looked at him and saw a vulnerable human being. They saw one that appeared weak and helpless. The chief priests and the elders and the scribes all accused Christ, saying, if he is the Son of God, let him save himself. If he comes down, we'll believe him. They would have, in fact, believed him if he had come down. But it would have done them absolutely no good to believe at that point. Just a chapter earlier in Matthew's writing, he wrote that in chapter 27. Just a chapter earlier in verse 26, Jesus said, do you not believe that I could now call on my Father and he would send more than 12 legions of angels? The Father would have done that for the Son had he asked. But if he had asked, then I would be lost, and you would be lost, and all mankind from creation till the end of time would be lost. But instead, we have hope. So we memorialize our Lord and Savior on every first day of the week in the partaking of these emblems, that he did not, in fact, show that crowd his power that day. He showed that crowd instead his mercy and his love. Bow with me now as we give God thanks. Righteous God, our Creator and our Father, we are so in honor of you and your Son Jesus, Father, for your love and compassion upon mankind, your creation. Father, you allowed your Son to face that humiliation, that shame, that mocking, that scourging, that painful death, that separation, Father, from you, to die there alone, helpless, because, Father, he loved us so much and he recognized our helplessness and our sins. We didn't have the ability to look elsewhere for salvation, elsewhere for redemption, elsewhere, Father, for restoration of our relationship. We were lost, quite simply, without Jesus. And because of him, Father, we have a hope of eternal life with you. So we thank you, Father, for these emblems. We thank you, Father, that this body of Jesus was not considered anything to hold on to, but he allowed it, Father, to be abused and to be spat upon, to be stripped of its dignity. We partake of this bread, Father, in honor of that great sacrifice of Jesus. Bless your church now and always as we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue. Most righteous and heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your wonderful gift that you gave us that we can never repay, that debt. You gave us your son, Jesus. He suffered on that cross. He was also tempted by Satan, put through all kinds of trials, and he proved to you that he was the gracious, righteous one. He was the most righteous one we could ever be. He hung on that cross, tortured and punished, stabbed in the side and drained of all his blood. As we get ready to take this fruit of the vine, let's remember that blood that he shared on that cross for the redemptions of our sin. The greatest gift that he could ever give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our observance of the Lord's Supper is complete. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we see the example of the church in Corinth and the church in Galatia, both being called upon to support the work for the evangelistic effort of the church. And now we have opportunity also and commandment by implication to do the same. Would you bow with me? Righteous and merciful God, your mercies are never ending, Father. You have provided for us everything that we need in this life. You've given us great abundance beyond our needs, Father, and for all the gifts that you give, your expectation, Father, is that we will be more diligent in their use for your glory and honor. So, Father, we have the command given to us, Father, to share our time and our talents and all of our resources, Father, for your work. At this very moment, Father, we glory in the opportunity to give back to you as we've prospered. Father, our jobs, our livelihood is ours, not because of our own wellness or greatness, Father, but because you have made a way for us to have those blessings. And so we, with thankfulness, Father, return back to you a portion of those blessings. Father, we give so that your word can have its influence in our community, in our and around the world, wherever we have opportunity to spread the gospel. Help us to give for that purpose. And we pray that the money that we give will be used for that, Father, so that more men and women can know the truth that saves. Bless us now as we give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, that's page 870. The Bible reads, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'"
If you would, please mark in your songbook number 454, Nothing But the Blood. This will be the song of encouragement, the song of invitation after Brother Barry's lesson. Number 454, Nothing But the Blood. And after you've marked that, please turn over to number 415, More About Jesus is the name of the song, and this will be the song before Doug's lesson, number 415.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Jesus, let me learn more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
Jesus wants us to be like Him. And Jesus was definitely the servant of all that He came in contact with. And so He seeks for us to do that. He came here so that we could learn not only to have salvation, but so that we could learn how to live and be followers and disciples of Him. I like this scripture to start with this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. God wants us to follow Him. Of course, this is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. God wants us not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in Him. Trust in Jesus as our light, as our way for how He wants us to live. So the question is, as we think about being a servant that was raised to Jesus, who's the greatest? Who should be the greatest? In Mark chapter 9, verses 33 and 34, it says, Then He came to Capernaum, and when He was in the house, He asked them, What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. This is very normal for society today, just as it was back then. There was different levels of rulers. There was people like Pontius Pilate, and then there was rulers that were over him, and you all the way to the Roman ruler. And the Jews had the same thing in the Sanhedrin court. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the top people as far as religious was concerned. But let's look at Luke chapter 22. And if you'd open your Bibles there with me and read along, Luke chapter 22, and let's read verses 24 down through verse 27. Luke 22, starting in verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And He said to them, The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors.
but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. Jesus definitely wanted the people here to become great, meant to become the least. And this, of course, for them was a very hard concept. And I think, except for maybe Christians, this is a hard idea and a concept for us too. Because we see all levels of rulership, all levels of command. You look at an army, what happens there? You know, from the private to the five-star general. And then who's over the five-star general? The President of the United States, and so on. So we see that there is always different levels. And that's what they were seeing in their daily life. And we see that too. So how do we look at that? He says, for us to become great, we must become least in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus came to be one who serves. Now this idea of the table, right? I mean, he's right here. Jesus was completely right. He says, who's better? The one who's sitting at the table or the one who serves? Now we said, no, of course, the one that's sitting at the table is greater because the servant is there. But Jesus says to them, I am the one who serves. And so when we think about it, that means for us. What does that mean for us? Are we to be the one who serves? And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to us to begin to recognize what God wants for us, how God wants us to do this, and how he wants us to be. And so it's natural, I think, by human standards to seek higher rank. But by Jesus' standards, the lower rank is the greatest. I like this passage from James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It comes back to us, does it not? We have to decide to humble ourselves. And that means I have to decide to be put myself in a servant's capacity to other people. Humble myself especially before God and to God. Jesus humbled himself to God. God sent him. Jesus obeyed him and did what God called him to do and to be. Mark chapter 9 and verse 35 says, and he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. You're going to notice throughout this lesson that Jesus has to say this over and over and over again to his disciples to get through their heads, to get through their minds about what he's talking about. If you want to be first, and one of the passages that we're not going to look at, scripture we're not going to look at today, is that remember when Jesus went to the banquet, was talking about the banquet, he says, don't seek the seats that are up front, right? But seek the seats that down below. So if you seek the seats that are above and the master comes in and says, well, I don't want you here. I want someone else to be here. It's going to humble you, shame you to have to move down. Jesus says it's better to go to the last, to the bottom of the table and to be called up. See, we need to not seek what we want as far as glory and honor and praise from men. But to be servants, to serve, to teach, to tell others about Jesus Christ, to become like he was. And boy, this is a challenge. You know, it's a challenge to do that, to try to do that, to seek to do that. And it's not a matter of being recognized, but it's a matter of being serving to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 23 now, if you would, please. Verses 10 through 12. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and verses 10 through 12. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, and it's not that I want to read all these things that are a lot the same, right? They are the same in many ways. But it's important for us to see that Jesus had to say this over and over again to them to get through their heads. It's not a matter of seeking glory for ourselves, but seeking to put God first. Do not call anyone, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. Obviously, Christ was a teacher, right? But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And again, the idea of humbling ourselves so that we can serve God. You become a great leader by becoming a humble servant. And it takes time, maybe a lifetime, to really become the servant that God wants us to be. And humbling ourselves before him. Now, I'm sure that Jesus did not have all these things like this, you know, when he was thinking about a child. But I saw this picture and I couldn't pass it up. Kind of reminds me of a grandson I have. Look at Mark chapter 9, verses 36 and 37. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to him, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." I just recently visited my son and family in Arkansas, and they have a four-month-old, well, he's 5 months now, grandson. And he's not crawling yet. He's rolling over, so that's a major accomplishment, right? But to think that God is telling us to become like a little child. Maybe that's like the granddaughter who's seven, you know, and still she's sweet. She's in many ways innocent, you know, as little kids are that age. But still, Jesus says, hey, look at her. Look at him. Look at this child and become like them. How do we do that? Well, we know that when we're born again, when we become Christians, when we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, that we are born again. We are babes in Christ, the Bible talks about. And that we're starting brand new. Why? Because this child is innocent. This child is sin-free. This child is everything, you know, right and good that we should be. Become like that child. Become like that child. And that's a challenge too, because, well, wait a minute. I want to be an adult, right? I want to be a master. Jesus says, if you receive, the last part of that verse, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So in the same sense, when we're putting Christ first, what does that do? That points to God. That points to Christ. Is that, see him, don't see me. See Jesus, he's the one that's important. See God, that's the one who saves us, that sent his son to save us from our sins. And Jesus says that, when you see me, you see God. Boy, that's a challenge too, is that we want to become like Jesus so that we can point people to God. If you receive a child, therefore you are receiving Jesus. And that's not all it takes to receive Jesus, right? But what Jesus is telling us is that we need to do this so that we can have the right priority in our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 18 now, if you would please, and let's read verses 1 through 4. Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Maybe Jesus was thinking back to the time in John where he said that you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, "How can I again enter my mother's womb?" He says, Jesus, no, you don't get it right. They were talking about the Spirit and the flesh. The Spirit is of wind, right? It's spirits of nature, of God. I mean, it's of God. We must be born again. And if we humble ourselves, see, that's hard for people. And sometimes to say, I want to be born again. I want to be baptized into Christ so that I can die to my old man and be born to be raised as a new child in him. Jesus says we should all desire that. We should all seek after that desire to be like Jesus, and humbling ourselves and becoming his child and not our own selves. "Whoever would be great among you shall be your servant." Mark chapter 10 and verse 43. If we want to really to Jesus. We want to humble ourselves before him in every way. We want to be able to serve him. We want to bow before him. And we do that in, I mean, many ways. Think about how we can serve, how you can serve. You can help someone that needs help through, you know, through their they're struggling with some things, maybe because of their health, maybe because of illness. You can turn to them and seek after their way. Sometimes people can't do things for themselves. And you need to be ready. So when someone says, would you help me in this way? You say, sure, yes, and go and do. And it's hard for us to seek it out sometimes. But when God opens the door for us, we need to be willing and ready to walk through. Turn to Mark chapter 10 now, and let's read verses 41 through 45. Mark the 10th chapter, verses 41 through 45. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Why? Because James and John had been asking, who's going to be first? Who can I sit on your right hand and on your left? Continue in verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slaves of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Remember that Jesus did not come to a palace to be born as a king. He was born in a simple, poor family that he had to be in the barn and be born and placed in a manger. He did not receive glory and honor when they, when the wise men found out and told the king that they were going to go find Jesus to worship him. The king's desire was not to worship him, but to kill him. And so what did they do? They had to flee to Egypt. And they, you know, raised the first few years there, and they came back, and they found that Herod was dead, but Antipas was not. And they were afraid, and so they went where? Back up, you know, into Nazareth, where they had been, where they had grown and started the whole thing in the first place. And so we see that this is not a simple, easy life for Jesus. It was a very poor life, and really a poor life for Jesus financially all through his life. And so what Jesus is telling them here, that they needed to recognize that, again, that it's not those rulers, like it says in verse last part of verse 42, you should, that you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. This is not what he wanted for his disciples. He did not want them. We think about what society has said, history supposedly has said, that Peter was the first pope. Peter never, there was no indication in the New Testament whatsoever. Peter was a humble servant after he recognized what Jesus wanted him to do. He came back, and one who had denied Christ three times, and yet he came back and did what Christ wanted him to do. He preached that first gospel sermon. And when he was faced with persecution, he says, it's not what telling, when they're telling him to shut up and not preach anymore, he says, we cannot do what you say, but we have to do what God says for us to do. So he was not bowing to human authority, but only following God's will and God's authority. And the Apostle Paul and others that we see in the New Testament were the same way. They were strong for God, but they were not seeking their own glory or their own authority at all. And so, what do you do? What do you want? Do you want to become first? Okay, if you want to be first in God's kingdom, it tells us to become a servant of all, of everyone. There's no one too great or too small for us to serve. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. Remember when Jesus took the disciples' feet in John chapter 13? What he did is that they came into the banquet hall, and he took off the outer garments and wrapped a towel around his waist and began to wash the disciples' feet. And I think they were all probably pretty much shocked, because this was what one of the lowliest servants would do. And Jesus came to Peter, and Jesus said, I'm going to wash you. He said, Lord, I'm not, if you're, I don't want to be washed. You don't have the right. I should be washing your feet. And Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no place with me. And Peter says, okay, wash all of me. And Peter says, no, all of you are clean. Just let me wash your feet. He had to learn the lesson to be not just to be served, but to serve. This is what Jesus was showing them. So how did Jesus serve? Well, we've talked about several ways that he served. We also know that he served by having compassion on the people. We know that he served after 3 days. They were hungry, and he fed 5,000 and so on. We know that Jesus raised the dead. We know that all the miracles Jesus did was to serve the people. But the greatest way that he served was giving his life as a ransom on the cross. That's what this text tells us, that he gave his life as a ransom. He paid the price for us, so that we don't have to. Have you ever had anybody pay the price for something that you owed? I have. There was a time when I was really, really broke, at least from what I thought I was. And two men from the Church of Christ came by our house, and they handed us a check that covered all our rent and all our expenses that we had, you know, big expenses, so we could buy food at that time. We didn't know it was coming. We didn't expect it. But just to accept it. They served us in our greatest need. But Jesus did something so much greater for us, did he not? He went to the cross, as we talked about this morning at the Lord's table, that he died on the cross so that we could have our sins washed away and that we could remember him. This is what he did for us. He paid the price. So in seeking greatness, how do you become great? You become the least. You become the least of all, not the greatest. Who's the greatest in the church? To be the greatest servant. Jesus came as one who serves. He became a humble servant, and that's what we are to do. Jesus humbled himself on the cross, taking up the cross for us. Let us humble ourselves before God, before one another. You humble yourselves. How do you do it? As a child. As a child. And the children, especially those babies that we're talking about, need a lot of help. And it's okay, because they're a part of new in the kingdom of God. When someone becomes a new child of God, we need to help them grow and become one in him. You become a servant to all. And Jesus came to serve. Therefore, a question for you. Becoming great in God's kingdom is so different than the world. Are you ready to do things God's way, rather than your way? To be like Christ, he calls us, all of us, to be servants of all people. And so come to be like Christ. God is calling us to come and be like him, to be one with him, to become one with him through baptism, through repenting of our sins, turning to God, having our sins washed away, to be raised to walk in newness of life, and daily taking up our cross and follow him. Will you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a
I know, I'm glad we're all here today, and I want to thank Doug for the lesson. It was a very good lesson. If you're a visitor out in our audience, please fill out one of these cards and hand it to one of the men in the congregation if you don't care. If you're in the radio audience, if you have any questions, feel free to call 618-252-7154. That's the number here at the building, and leave a message, or if nobody answers the phone, then we'll get back to you and we'll try to help you with your needs. Let's remember the ones on the prayer list, the ones that Dave mentioned this morning, the shut-ins and the ones that had the birthdays. Let's remember Dave Morris's family with his dad being in the way that he is, being in hospice. Let's remember Martha Crane's recovering from surgery. And also, I believe Sharon Williams is recovering from foot surgery. And let's see if I got any more. Just remember the potluck. And I want to invite everybody back tonight at 5 o'clock for worship services and 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Is there any other announcements that had been left? Yes, James Miller.
There's a little bit of a correction on Sister King.
Oh, okay.
She, as of last night, was not in the hospital. She had been in the hospital.
Been in the hospital.
And she was supposed to go back and see a heart doctor on Monday.
Okay.
So
okay.
She's been having some struggles with that, and we need to remember her prayers.
Yeah, let's remember Sister King and that everything works out for her.
Also, Team 1 will meet after fellowship meal to do cards.
Team 1 will meet after the fellowship meal to do cards. Okay. Any other announcements? Now we'll lead it to Jamie Poe here to dismiss us.
Something that needs to be mentioned that hadn't been mentioned in a while. The contact cards back there on the table. We need contacts.
If cool. About that contact cards, and I was going to do it, and it slipped my mind, is that the first contacts that we asked for were those that were sick or, you know, having health problems. And if you knew someone, they turned those in. We had a few cards turned in. Somehow they got misplaced someplace. So if you have those names still, fill out, you know, grab one of these white cards and fill them out and turn them into us also.
We need the contact cards turned in. Without contacts, we don't have anybody to send cards to. We don't have visits to make, such as that. And we're out of names. The ones that we've had, we're out of. We went through all those names. So if you've got a neighbor that's sick, that's been in the hospital, especially for sure turn those in, because that's the people that we need to contact the most. What's the next one, Doug?
Well,
what I want to get at is, regardless of what we're doing, like prodigal or this or that, always turn in. If a neighbor is sick or you find out about a neighbor that needs something, always turn those people in.
Those that scheduled for surgery and those are recovering from surgery. But everybody, please, fill out this card if you have it. We need this. This is how we get contacts, by filling up your people that you know and that you have and you're praying for. Let's do that so that we can use those names.
Like I said, anytime you've got a neighbor that's sick, we don't have to be saying turn those in at this time. Just let it be known we want those.
Could we just have it where everybody turns in one card a week, regardless of
what
it is? I think that would just be easier, because I think we're forgetting.
That's kind of what I was getting at there. Just turn it in regardless of whether we're asking for it or not. If you know someone in need, or someone that's been sick, or somebody that's been in the hospital, turn those in.
Yeah, if we do one card a week, that's doable for the teams.
Right.
And then just bring in a new one the next week.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer today, thanking you for all the things that you have gave us in our life and all the blessings that you've bestowed on us. Father, this morning be with those of our congregation that are out, that's not here this morning. Brother David with his dad and going through some trying times there. We just pray that you be with the doctors that are treating them, that they can keep him as comfortable as they can, and be with David, give him patience and strength that he'll need to deal with the things that are coming up. Be with our sister Martha Crane as she's had surgery, and we just pray that her recovery is going good and that she'll be able to get back here and join us as quick as possible. Are there any of those that we may have missed this morning? Sister Naomi's missing, and Dustin, we just pray that you be with them, and whatever's going on that's keeping them from being able to be here, that you'll clear that path, because we miss them when they're not here, and we know that they miss being here. Be with this congregation as we do things and we try to grow, that you'll be with each and every member, that we'll put forth 100% effort to try to grow your kingdom. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.